you believe that it is September 1st, 2015? That's right, the summer days are slowly counting down. But hey, the good thing is, football is right around the corner. Of course, this weekend, the college football year begins. Isaac and myself are actually just coming back from Spartan Stadium as head coach of the Michigan State football team, Mark D'Antonio, addressed the media previewing that upcoming matchup against Western Michigan on the road. You don't want to miss what Coach D had to say. We'll also be inviting Mike Smith, head coach of the Eaton Rapids Greyhounds football team. Mike has done one unbelievable job since taking over the program in 2012. And actually, when looking at the past 2 years that he has coached, they have won 4 playoff games. Previous to that, guess how many playoff wins they had? A big donut. 0, folks. You don't want to miss my chat with Mike as he talks about how he actually turned around this program and his thoughts going into that job. We'll also be chatting with Kathy George, head coach of the Michigan State women's volleyball team, as they received some unfortunate news over the weekend concerning one of their biggest players. You do not want to miss that. We'll also have Top 5 Tuesday for you, talk a bit about Deflategate, as well as take your calls all the way up until 2 o'clock. If you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything we discuss, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. Without further ado, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this September 1st. The Michigan State women's cross-country team begins the 2015 season as the top-ranked program in the Great Lakes region, according to the U.S. Track and Field and Cross-Country Coaches Association preseason poll released yesterday. The men's side was tabbed at number 4 in the region. The Spartan ladies welcome back 4 of their top 7 runners from last season's national championship team, highlighted by All-Americans Rachel Shulis, and Lindsey Clark. A week away from starting their push for the MWL Championship, the Lansing Lugnuts welcome Toronto Blue Jays star Marcus Stroman for a rehab start 7.05 p.m. tomorrow. A native of Medford, New York, the 24-year-old Stroman was drafted 22nd overall in 2012. He made his major league debut on May 4th last year, posting an 11-6 record to tie for third among all MLB rookies in wins and winning percentage. The right-hander had been sidelined by an ACL tear in his left knee suffered during fielding practice at spring training on March 10th. This is his first appearance of the year. Lions star wide receiver Calvin Megatron Johnson, who has not played in the NFL preseason, may not play this Wednesday either when the Lions wrap up exhibition play against the Buffalo Bills. Quote, "There's a possibility he plays," Coach Jim Caldwell said, "but the chances are slim." Caldwell said the same goes for injured players such as right tackle and LaAdrian Waddle and Jason Jones, who are back on the practice field but have battled injury. Serena Williams, she stuck to the script on Monday night, moving on to the second round of the U.S. Open and continuing her quest to complete her first career calendar Grand Slam since 1988. For all the hype that led up to this match, it was a sputtering start to the tournament. Williams' opponent actually retired just 2 games into the second set. Quite odd if you saw this, folks. There was really never any chance she'd lose it, though. Williams and Vitalia Diachenko were on the court for just 30 minutes before Diachenko retired with a foot injury. Quite an odd match, but hey, a win is a win. Robert Griffin III has yet to comment on losing the Washington Redskins starting quarterback job to Kirk Cousins, but he used social media to address another matter Monday night. Griffin had appeared to like an Instagram post that ripped Washington owner Dan Snyder and the front office while lauding Griffin. However, the quarterback later posted his own message to social media saying that the like came from an intern who helps with Instagram. All right, nearly 2 weeks ago, when Patriots quarterback Tom Brady missed work a day before an August 19th court hearing, Brady was willing, as many others have reported, to accept a 1-game suspension for not cooperating with the NFL's Deflategate investigation. After the August 19th hearing, during which Judge Richard M. Berman subjected the league's lawyers to a variety of tough questions, Brady's camp seemed to retreat. Again, that's what others have been reporting. That's not coming from the mouth of Tom Brady himself. And last but not least, Florida State senior quarterback Everett Golson will start the Seminoles' opening game against Texas State on Saturday. The team announced that yesterday. Now, Golson, a transfer from Notre Dame, completed 60% of his passes for 3,445 yards and 29 TDs last year for the Fighting Irish. He graduated from Notre Dame in May of 2015, allowing him to play out his final year of eligibility in 2015. Well, those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call in and share your thoughts on any of those topics or anything that happens to be on your sports noggin, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, or even tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or how about you even shoot me an email at almartin@wkar.org. So many ways you can weigh in, and again, we'll be doing that all the way up until 2 o'clock. Without further ado, I do believe it's about that time to start the show. Start today's current sports. It's September. Yeah, that Earth, Wind, and Fire classic is certainly fitting for this first day of the month of September. How about that? One of my favorite all-time old-school tracks right there, September by Earth, Wind, and Fire. And September 1st is also one of the best basketball players we've ever seen don a Detroit Pistons jersey. That being, of course, as you just heard, Vinny Johnson. Happy birthday, Vinny. The Microwave, one of the best nicknames in all of sports, if you ask me. Today, Vinny turns 59. How about that, man? Of course, he was a key player as the sixth man for the Detroit Pistons during the team's NBA championships back in 1989 and 1990. And me being the biggest Piston fan that I am, I had to tip my cap to the Microwave on this September 1st. And anyone out there, if your birthday is September 1st, happy birthday to you, all right? But we've got a great show in store for you. Welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I've been running around all morning. My engineer, Isaac Constance, here on Current Sports. Isaac Constance and I, we just actually came from Spartan Stadium after, of course, listening to head coach Mark D'Antonio address us media members right before they, of course, play Western Michigan this Friday. So Mark talked about, you know, his thoughts leading up to this game, his thoughts on an upcoming year. And I even got the chance to ask Mark about his thoughts on Kirk Cousins, his former quarterback here at Michigan State, getting a shot at that starting QB position for the Washington Redskins. So in just a sec, you'll get to hear from Mark from this morning's press conference. You don't want to miss any of that. And again, folks, you know you can weigh in. If you want to be a part of today's show, call in 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. I love hearing your beautiful voices and love chatting here live on the airwaves. But I want to see how you're doing, Isaac. How you doing, my man? Today is another chaotic day here on campus at Michigan State University. You know, this is where we record WKAR's Current Sports. That's where the home of WKAR is, right in the Communication Arts and Sciences building. And I thought yesterday was bad, but today it's ramped up because I believe today is the day before classes start here on campus. So, I mean, you got a lot of freshmen out there that are walking the streets trying to figure out where their classes are going to be for tomorrow. And I almost hit a few guys on riding bikes left and right. I'm sorry. I beat my horn, okay? But it's pretty hectic on campus. But it's also exciting because this is a new school year for students like yourself. You'll be a sophomore this upcoming year, Isaac. And I'm sure you're thrilled to be with us here at WKAR because you get to cover a lot of sports this semester, my man.
Yeah, no. Well, credit card expenses were running a little bit low during the summer. They were dwindling just because – I was living off what I stocked up from the last year, and hey, I had to buy some suits. I'm a little bit spendthrift, to throw in a vocabulary word. I spend a decent bit of money, so
yeah.
I'm excited.
Dollar bill, y'all. Isaac is rich.
I'm excited to get back to the point where I don't have to spend too much, and covering games means I get to go for free.
Yeah.
That's a big plus, so that's great. And then there's also the side of, you know, I've got all of that, so no covering games. Actually, I just got a notification today, though, that my NBA League pass is now out of date, and I have to renew that. And oh, you know, man, I got to watch my Pellies.
Yes, you do. It. And what I always do every year, I mean, because we're both big NBA guys, my fraternity brother usually pays for League Pass, and I just grab his username and password and just have it, you know, every single year, so... Yeah, that's how I usually do it. But yeah, I mean, but an exciting time with football being this week. Of course, we spent really the majority of yesterday's show chatting about the upcoming year for Michigan State football. We had an elongated conversation concerning the start of high school football, which actually kicked off officially last week, Thursday. And later on, around the 1:30 mark here on today's show, we'll be chatting with a man who got his first win of the year, you know, started off the season on a high note, the very first game, the very first win of the season. And who I'm talking about is actually Mike Smith, who is the head coach of the Eden Rapids Greyhounds high school football team. And, you know, he's one of my favorite coaches in the area because, you know, first off, his personality. I mean, he's such a nice guy, such a nice guy. He's witty. He's funny. And he's just a hardworking dude. And he's taken over a program which before him, actually Mike took over in 2012. Before Mike took over that program, I mean, it was just down in the dumps, folks, to be quite honest with you. I mean, for like 35 years, they had never made the playoffs, never won a playoff game. Mike comes in, totally turns the program around, and in the last two seasons, they now have four playoff wins. So Mike will join us on the air. It's always a pleasure talking with him. So you don't want to miss that. And later on, of course, each and every Tuesday, we love to bring you guys Top 5 Tuesday, where we have, you know, the top five point guards of all time. You know, just a top five sports topic. And today, of course, with the start of Michigan State football occurring on Friday at Western Michigan University, we are going to list our top five predictions for the MSU football year. We'll also have brief chatter on the Deflategate decision that is supposed to happen before Friday, at least, but I won't hold my breath on that one, all right? But first off, let's talk about the presser, Isaac. Of course, we were at Spartan Stadium and heard what Mark D'Antonio had to say about the upcoming football season. There were multiple areas that you can look at and really dissect as far as D'Antonio's thoughts on a new season. One of the takeaways from an X's and O's standpoint for me, I don't know if you guys saw this on Twitter, from any of the beat writers who have already tweeted it out or have written articles on it after the presser. But redshirt freshman Vyonte Copeland will start at cornerback for Friday's game at Western Michigan. Also, you know, with Ed Davis, linebacker for Michigan State, going down in the first day of pads during preseason training camp, you know, injuring his knee, done for the year. The talk of the town was who was going to replace Ed Davis. And it's looking as though it was going to be like a, you know, dual responsibility as far as Frey and Reschke go, Isaac. So, you know, D'Antonio went on record to say that Chris Frey and Reschke will both play at that linebacker position and will both get minutes there. So, you know, as far as from the X and O standpoint, you know, that's interesting because you want to see who's on that depth chart and who is slated to make, you know, immediate impacts for this team. Also, what really caught my attention, Isaac, was when D'Antonio talked about competing against in-state rivals, you know, like Eastern Michigan and Western Michigan on Friday and, you know, other schools here in Michigan, you know, even Michigan, of course. And what does that do for the overall state of college football right here in the state of Michigan? What does that do for the overall economy here in the state of Michigan? And what does that statement say when you do beat an in-state quote-unquote rival? And this is what Coach D had to say about scheduling Western Michigan University and any in-state rival for that matter.
The three things that really made this job attractive to me were, number one, I'd been here before, so I knew the landscape. That's number one.
But actually, that's a vital one why Coach D took the job in a second. But I believe, Isaac, we can pull up the one on the in-state rivalry. Because he had some interesting things to say about, you know, why they play these games against Western Michigan University and what those games mean. We do have that now. All right, let's throw to that right now.
When we made the decision to do this and make it 3-for-1 with one of the times going away to play, it was because we wanted to create a community event in the state of Michigan. And it was because the economy in the state of Michigan being what it was, we could help the economy in the state of Michigan. And that's why we did it. We wanted to create a community event in Kalamazoo. We wanted to fill the hotels in that area. We wanted to bring commerce to the city of Kalamazoo rather than take this down to Florida and play someplace else, somewhere, someplace. Because we were going to have to play I think we were slated to play Florida Atlantic in their new stadium at one point in time when we made this decision. So with that in mind, we're up. This is the time that we're up playing this game. We did it against Central couple years back, and I think it did the same thing for Central. It was a community event, and I just think it's good for the state of Michigan, and that's why we've done it. And I'm not sure beyond this time it was a one-time deal, so it's 3-for-1. Consequently, they come here three different times, and the payout is what it is. But it's beneficial to us, so it's a business deal as well.
Mark,
we're going to just line up and play wherever they tell us to go.
And Coach D made it known that, I mean, he isn't the guy who sits down and says, okay, this is who we want to play out of conference to start the year. He has really, you know, he doesn't have really any say when it comes to the schedule. So at the end of the day, like you just said, I mean, at that last bit, I mean, hey, we just line up and play who we are scheduled to play. But on that same notion, I mean, when playing, you know, teams like Central and Western and so on and so forth, I mean, that does a lot for the state of Michigan. You know, especially, you better believe that when Michigan State goes and travels to Kalamazoo on Friday, with it being a night game, I mean, that crowd is going to be completely off the chain. Off the chain. It is going to be unbelievable out in Kalamazoo because of what Michigan State has done in recent years, you know, back-to-back years in which they've been a top-five team, winning the Rose Bowl, winning the Cotton Bowl, getting national attention. I mean, we played last week how, you know, an ESPN college football analyst, Ray Bentley, actually is predicting Michigan State to win the entire enchilada, you know, and you know, possibly pulling out a national championship here. So for a school like Western that, you know, looks up to a school like, you know, Michigan State when it comes to their college football program, Western looks at this as a golden opportunity to, you know, to possibly knock them off and make national headlines on ESPN, point blank period. So, you know, at the end of the day, Michigan State is going to have to come out and really be on their P's and Q's from the very start of that game all the way to the end, which I think they will. I mean, you know, this is a fantastic ball club on both sides of the ball. You never question Mark D'Antonio when it comes to making sure that his troops are ready for any game. For any game. He is what I think makes Coach D'Antonio such a fantastic college football coach is that he makes sure that his team is uber prepared on the eve of any matchup, no matter who they play. You better know that Mark D'Antonio and his staff have prepared and prepared and prepared. So it's not going to be a question that Michigan State is going to be ready. It's going to be a question if they can sustain that comfortability throughout the entire football game. So it's going to be a fun matchup. And then, of course, you know, this will be the ultimate prep for Oregon, which is going to be the second game of the year at home. And that, of course, starts a four-game home stretch. And, you know, Larry Lage of the Associated Press actually asked Mark D'Antonio in the presser today whether or not it's hard for him and his squad to look past Western. And Coach D, of course, you know, said, no, not at all. We take it one game at a time. It's not hard for us to look forward, even though it's going to be a very big game, a nationally televised game with a lot of possible implications as to where both of those squads end up when the year is said and done. But you can never overlook any opponent. But this is going to be a nice tune-up, I think, for Coach D'Antonio before they do go and play the Ducks at home. Also, man, you know, talk about, you know, the stature of where this program is. I mean, Lynn Henning was in the house. How about that? National sports writer who's known quite well in the sports reporting community. He was in the house to report on D'Antonio's first press conference right on the eve of that Western Michigan University game. And he actually asked Coach D why, you know, what made the job so appealing. What made the Michigan State job so appealing once he, you know, first decided to take the head coaching job here? And this is what he had to say.
The three things that really made this job attractive to me were, number one, I'd been here before, so I knew the landscape. That's number one. I've always believed it's about people, and I knew there were great, outstanding people here that I would be working with. You know, not only within the football department, but the athletic department, Mark Hollis, Ron Mason at that time. I knew our president. I knew people on the board. Tom Izzo, certainly very impactful. So all those people, you know, had a part in that. So that's number two. And the third thing was really that everywhere I had gone when I was an assistant here, I could walk in the door and sell Michigan State. You could sell Michigan State because Michigan State had been on top before. Now, it might have been a while since they were number one or two in the country, but they had had good teams under Coach Perlis. When you walked in, you were immediately recognized. People knew who the Spartans were, and I felt like you could have good recruiting here. I knew the facilities needed to be upgraded, but I knew that there was a plan in place, and that was going to be moving forward. The Big Ten Conference speaks to itself in terms of the type of conference that this conference is, and the people that we play against and outside the conference. And, you know, so, and then finally, you know, I feel like my family had a built-in support system. So when they came back, they were coming back to friends. And that's basically what it was all about.
Yeah, and again, that's Coach D'Antonio on what made this job so appealing, you know, when he decided to come to Michigan State and become the head football coach here at Michigan State. And of course, that question was asked by Lynn Henning, pretty known in the sports broadcasting and sports writing community. He is a sports columnist covering the Detroit Tigers for the Detroit News. So they actually took him from the Detroit Tigers beat and said, hey, you got to cover Michigan State. This is pretty big. So Lynn Henning was in the house. It was great seeing him there. But yeah, I mean, hey, the thing that really stands out to me on that one, Isaac, is that he made a point to say that, you know, I could go anywhere and sell Michigan State. And it's not really hard because this school, when it comes to athletics, really is renowned across the board. And it's not hard to go to a kid and say, hey, and you probably experienced this too. I mean, one of the things that really stood out to me when I was a student here at Michigan State, you know, first off, it was, you know, one of my big dreams to come here. And, you know, whenever I would go on a out-of-town trip with the fam or with my fellas, I would say, you know, people would come up to us and ask us, I mean, what school do you go to? I'd be like, Michigan State. I'm like, oh, man, it's a great school. You know, they would bring up Coach Izzo and Coach D'Antonio. I mean, the brand of Michigan State it's been pretty healthy for quite some time now.
Oh, it has been. And the reason I actually applied to Michigan State is they had a counselor at my high school. And I went up and said, hey, I love y'all's basketball and football teams. And you know, a year and a half, more than that, 2 years later, here I am. So, no, that just gets conversation started. You're right. It's a national brand, and everybody knows Michigan State, especially when it comes to athletics. There are a few people that mix Michigan State and Michigan up down south, but even so, Michigan State, you know, if you see that Spartan head, you know what it is.
Right. Yeah, you definitely do. And, you know, it makes Coach D's job very easy when he goes out to talk to recruits. And speaking of recruits, actually, I got a chance to ask Coach D'Antonio about not only his thoughts on Kirk Cousins, his former quarterback here, you know, with the program, who did an outstanding job, who is now in the NFL and now has a shot at that starting quarterback position with the whole fiasco that's gone down with Robert Griffin III. Kirk Cousins is going to be the starter for the year for Jay Gruden's Washington Redskins. I asked Coach D about his thoughts on Kirk Cousins being named as a starting quarterback. And, you know, going back to the recruiting part, I mean, he found a way to trickle in recruiting there, because today is the very first day that Coach D and his coaching staff can have direct contact with the upcoming recruiting class for 2016. So, you know, this is the first day he can reach out and message them and talk to them via phone. You know, he actually even got a call from one of the recruits during the press conference. So here is Coach D'Antonio talking about not only Kirk Cousins being named as a starter out in Washington, but also on reaching out to the upcoming recruiting class for next year.
Thank you. Just curious to get your thoughts on Kirk Cousins getting another shot at the starting quarterback position for Washington.
Yeah, it's a big day today in the NFL for a lot of our guys. You know, it's cut day, so a lot of things are happening for our guys individually, so I want to wish them the best. Kirk, you know, getting the starting nod with the Redskins, I think, is phenomenal. I think he's probably earned that position. You know, don't hand those things out. So we're very, very excited for him and Spartan Nation, because they all follow Kirk, and wish him the best. And I was texting him the other night, congratulating him. So it's we've got a lot of guys. Brian Hoyer with the Texans got the starting nod. I'm not sure where Drew Stanton's at, but we've got a lot of guys performing in the NFL. So it's a very exciting time for a lot of those guys. It's also the first day that you can call recruits, the 2016 recruits. So I want to give a shout out to all of our committed guys out there and all the people we'll be calling. And it's also the first day we're allowed to direct message the juniors. So I want to give a shout out to all those guys. All right. So we've got to take a minute to recruit. No, not too many. I only started doing that with one guy because he'd send them to me, so I looked him up. I like the guy crying, laughing.
Oh, how about Coach D showing some personality there? You know, and I feel as though, I think more so before the Rose Bowl, Isaac, that many people looked at Coach D'Antonio as this, like, stone-cold-faced guy with no sense of humor, with no personality. But over time, I feel like in the past 2 years, Coach D'Antonio has slowly opened up and showed the world how funny he is, how witty he actually is, and to show that he's not just this uber-serious guy all the time, because that's the way he comes off. I mean, when you see him, you know, manning the sidelines, there's really no smiling going on. He's in tune with what his squad is doing, as a head coach should be. But at the same time, I mean, Coach D'Antonio has shown his personality to the world. And I think a lot of people are opening up to say, all right, and starting to realize that Coach D'Antonio is a pretty fun and funny guy. I already knew that when I first started covering him as an intern, but the national media doesn't get to see that all the time. So, I mean, you saw that a little bit in that bite and him talking about, you know, his favorite emoji. If you don't know what an emoji is, it's actually a because the reason I bring this up and feel the need to explain it is because there were some people in the room when Kevin Gill of Channel 6 said, "What's your favorite emoji?" A lot of people were like, what in the world is that? It's actually, you know, if you look at your phone, your smartphone, if you have a smartphone, it's just a smiley face or a face that exuberates some type of emotion, okay? Hence, emoji. And D'Antonio said his favorite emoji is the guy laughing so hard that he is actually crying. So, and he may send that to a few recruits today. Who knows? But D'Antonio lightening up a little bit. And, of course, he is certainly proud to see a guy like Kirk Cousins, who's come through his wheelhouse and is now a starting quarterback in the NFL. He mentioned also Brian Hoyer of the Houston Texans, who I've been watching on Hard Knocks. Don't know if you tuned in, but it's an excellent show. Brian Hoyer winning out that job. Keyshawn Martin, also with the Houston Texans. Got a chance to cover him when he was here on campus. Trey Wayans with the Vikings. Jarrell Worthy, we saw him with the Detroit Lions last week. So there are a ton of Spartans doing their thing right now in the NFL, and that can help, you know, that can do anything but help the MSU brand at the end of the day as well, Isaac.
Yeah, Al, I mean, Spartans are really elevating their game in the NFL right now, and I expect Jeremy Langford to have a good season for the Bears. You talk about somebody who was just drafted and really has a chance to make inroads with that team. He reminds me a lot of Matt Forte, who, of course, had so many successful seasons for them.
Yeah, certainly.
I think it's a bright future for the Spartans. I think D'Antonio's recruiting class keeps getting better and better, and I expect this trend to continue. Now the Spartans might have, three or four starting quarterbacks in the league by next season if Stanton gets the nod. And then when Connor Cook is drafted, he probably will start from the first season on. So that's an impressive resume for D'Antonio, putting out four NFL starting quarterbacks.
Speaks volumes.
Yeah, incredible.
Speaks volumes for this Michigan State football program. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll be chatting with Mike Smith, head coach of the Eden Rapids Greyhounds football team. You don't want to miss that chat and so much more. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Beautiful people. Hey, I got to remind you all that, of course, tomorrow we will be recording Current Sports TV just like we do each and every Wednesday afternoon. I'm excited. I'm sitting down with actually Curtis Blackwell, who is the Michigan State recruiting coordinator for Coach D'Antonio and the MSU football team. We actually had Curtis on the radio show, I believe, a few weeks ago. As he chatted about, you know, the world of recruiting, the wonderful world of recruiting, where you're constantly on the road and you got to deal with, 16, 17, 18-year-olds who are making their decisions on where they want to take their college football careers. And, of course, Curtis enlightened us that, I mean, that the age seems to be coming younger and younger and younger when evaluating talent, college football talent, and trying to get the edge on other schools who may be going after that same young individual. So, the world of recruiting, I mean, it can be one that, of course, pays off great dividends, but it can also be one that you just look at and you kind of just pull your hair out because you just never know what's really going through the mind of a young kid. You can only hope that they'll make that commitment to your program. So anyway, tomorrow at 3 p.m. here at the WKAR-TV studios, we will be chatting with Curtis Blackwell. If you want to be a part of that live studio audience here at the WKAR-TV studios, all you got to do is hop on that smartphone or laptop of yours and type in WKAR.org, and sign up online for free. Then it's just a matter about showing up to tomorrow's taping. So looking forward to seeing all of your smiling faces. All right, well, let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. Of course, on yesterday's show, we had an elongated chat about the world of mid-Michigan high school football. We ran down some of the notable performances, some of the notable wins from around the area, and it was fantastic. I actually rocked the mic for the team 92-1, calling the Portland and Ovid LC game on Thursday, and then on Friday, calling the St. John's and East Lansing game. And this Thursday, I'll also be back on the mic doing play-by-play for a pretty big matchup between two very, very good teams this year. That being Mason taking on Eden Rapids. And right now we have on line one, head coach of the Eden Rapids Greyhounds high school football team, my man, Mike Smith. Mike, welcome to the show. Thanks a lot.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
Mike, I gotta first off talk about the very first game of the season for you guys. I want you to quickly, for those that that couldn't attend that game, but actually, you know, saw the final ticker at the scoreboard, you guys pulling out that very first win of the year against Jackson Northwest on Friday night, a 24-21 win for your ball club. Very close game. Can you give us a summary of how that matchup went on Friday night?
Well, is it, you know, we knew going in that is it from the 2 years prior that, you know, we had a different skill set. We had to run the ball, which means we're going to take some time off the clock and stuff like that. And our kids, I was very, very proud of them because, you know, running the ball is a lot more effort offensively than it is passing the ball. And it's our offensive linemen dug down deep and stayed in the game and worked their butts off until we got to that fourth quarter where you know our O line literally took over and we were moving the ball four to 6 to 8 yards a carry and nobody panicked and everybody, and like I said, everybody stayed the course. And so it was our kids showed some toughness, especially for the first game. It was hot both teams were tired. But the thing is our kids shook it off and played very, very well. And then with about five or so minutes left to go in the game, put in the winning touchdown. So I was very, very proud of him.
Yeah, and Mike, you know, looking at what you've done with this program, it's really remarkable. I mean, you took over in 2012, and, you know, the last 2 years, you guys have a total now of 4 playoff wins after, you know, and looking back at the almanac, I mean, I was looking this morning and just looking at the history of the Eden Rapids football team. I mean, they hadn't had a playoff win in just about, like, what, 35 years we're talking here, Mike. I mean, for you, looking at what you inherited with this program back in 2012, how did you start to rebuild this program? I mean, where do you start when inheriting a program like this?
Well, what you do is you have to assess the skill level, but also they're only going to get better if you know what they know, and that comes down to football IQ. I mean, a lot of coaches would like to say, okay, is it on defense? You're going to be the field corner and you're the boundary corner and you're going to do this and that and the other thing. But the thing is, if they don't know what field and boundary mean, you know, that doesn't do them any good. So the thing is that you have to work on their football IQ. This generation, I think, is a Madden generation where very few high schoolers sit down and watch a whole football game on TV. And so you have to teach more than you have to coach. And then all of a sudden with a lot of the stuff that's online that, you know, our kids, it's called huddle. And is it, you know, we make them get on huddle and watch it during the week and go from there. But the thing is that, you know, we say to them, this is your time. This is your year. And is it, you remember when you were, in this case, junior Greyhounds, and you looked up to those guys at the high school and you thought, man, is that cool? Someday I'm going to be that guy. Well, time goes by very fast. Next thing you know, you're that guy, and it's your time. And what kind of legacy are you going to leave behind? Because sooner or later, you're going to be one of those old guys leaning on the fence, watching the game, and is it, you know, you're either telling the truth or fibbing a little bit about how good you were. Mm-hmm. And is it, make some memories and have some fun, but thing is, you've got to work hard at it. And they have, and there was tremendous buy-in, not only by the kids, but by the community. And so is it, we go and we make the playoffs and win the first game. And it's a, you know, and they had, the school had never been in a playoff game before.
Right.
So it was very, very cool. And then for 2 years in a row to be district champs, and, you know, we got to work on that third game now because we've lost 2 years in a row in the regional championship. But this year's call was, rise up, remember that tradition can't graduate.
That is so true.
We finally have a good tradition now.
Right.
And is it, you know, you don't want to be the ones to let it down.
Tradition can't graduate. I love that, Mike. And, you know, a lot of that, you know, comes down to, as you just mentioned, it comes down to just confidence for a squad. I mean, they have to believe first that they can go out there and be successful before they do. What sort of motivational techniques have you used just to instill confidence in these young men?
Well, is it like, well, the one thing, and it's got to be a day by day. It's not just one speech. It's like parenting. You got to do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is that you need to say, I believe in you. I mean, almost every day they got to shake five hands and they got to look into each other's eyes and they got to say, I believe in you. And because there's going to come a time like there was in the game, this last game here, where there's 5 minutes left to go. You're back against the wall, you're tired, and you got 60, 70 yards to go. What are you going to do? And is it like, you know, you got to believe in each other, do your job, and then try your best. And is it, you know, and when that happens, it's a great thing. It's a great thing because the thing is, they buy into it's a team. Because is it, you know, over the course of all my years of coaching, my better teams weren't my team. It was their team. It was, you know, and we have this thing on Wednesday, where is it? We have what's called Call Out Wednesday. Where is it? There's no coaches, but the thing is, anybody that wants to talk, I can call you out, and I can call out Fred and say, hey, look, Fred, you can do better. You know, and it's got to be constructive. But the thing is that, you know, but they challenge each other and they compete with each other and they say, we got to get better. Because a lot of times it's high school football. It's not about knowing all the routes that, like, say, for instance, Mason has or their running plays. It's about trying your best. It's about getting where you're supposed to be. And so is it, we need to get better every single day and every single practice. And once you buy in, because the thing is that, you know, right after we get done practicing, all the junior Greyhounds are waiting to get on the field, on the practice field, and they're looking at you and they're seeing what kind of player you are. And if you're that guy that's not trying their best or acting silly or whatever, well, you know, that's what they think of you. But the thing is, if you're trying your best and you're encouraging your teammates, then that's what you are too. Because a lot of these kids, they can't go see a Michigan State or a Detroit Lion or a U of M games all the time, but they can see you every Friday night.
Absolutely love it. Again, folks, if you're just now joining us here on WKR's Current Sports, we are chatting with Mike Smith, head football coach of the Eaton Rapids Greyhounds. Now, of course, Mike, I want to look ahead really, really briefly here, of course, to this Thursday matchup against yourself, Eaton Rapids, versus the Mason Bulldogs, a team which just went absolutely bonkers against Okemos, a 56-30 win over the Chiefs. How are you guys been preparing for that matchup?
You know what? The same way we prepare every week. We have to get better at what we do. And is it on defense? In defense, the best thing you can do sometimes as a coach is put them in the correct spot to be successful. So is it on defense? It's about assignment and alignment. And then all of a sudden, doing, as Bill Belichick says, do your job.
Right.
And it's just that simple. And then you go, and then all of a sudden when you do your job, then all of a sudden you support each other. You get on each other. You slap each other on the back or on the head and say, great job. And that. So the thing is, you know, a lot of the times it's not about It's not about competing so much against the other team as it is doing your job. And if you do your job and is it, you know, and you celebrate with your teammates, that's going to be okay. That's going to be fine. And so, you know, Mason's a very strong program with a very great coach. And is it, we're, you know, Coach Van Havel is a Hall of Fame coach, and is it, it's an honor for me to like compete against them. And is it, you know, we're going to get better. We're going to get better when we play good competition. So, yeah, so is it, we're all very much looking forward to Thursday night.
Mike, what was your first thoughts when you saw that final score, 56-30, this past week?
Well, when I saw it, I thought, holy mackerel! You know, they put 56 points up on the Green Bay Packers or something. And is it? But then we exchanged film, and the score after the first quarter was 7-0. So I think like Okemos let the game get away from him, and then Mason kicked it in gear, decided, okay, let's do what we do best, and then they did, and they've got a great running back, and Jerry's son, who plays quarterback, I think he's been playing quarterback there for about 7 years. Mm-hmm. It seems like he started since he's been a freshman, and right. So he's a very talented but very intelligent young man. So anyways, it's going to be a great challenge, but that's how you get better.
That is so true. Well, I tell you what, Mike, on behalf of all of us here at WKR's Current Sports, we wish you all the luck in the world. I'm looking forward to calling that game this Thursday, my man. Congratulations on your first win of the year, though. That's big stuff. Big stuff, my man.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Mike Smith, head football coach of the Eden Rapids Greyhounds. Again, they take on the Mason Bulldogs this Thursday. Both teams entering that matchup, starting off the year right last week with that first win of the year. All right, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll chat with Kathy George, head coach of the MSU women's volleyball team, as she previews her beginning of the year for herself in the squad. We'll also have Top 5 Tuesday for you as we briefly run down our top 5 predictions for the MSU football season. Don't go anywhere. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. The number 19 Michigan State women's volleyball team down IUPUI 3-0 at the Bluegrass Invitational at Kentucky on Saturday afternoon. The Spartans improved to 2-1 overall, while the Jaguars, they fell to 1-2 on the year. The Jaguars upset Little Rock in Friday's tournament opener. The Spartans set the tone early in the first set, pulling out to a 5-point lead at 15-10 and never looked back. So fantastic start to the year for the Michigan State women's volleyball team. Isaac, interesting news here, because I saw this on the 6 o'clock sports broadcast on WLNS TV6, and Fred Heumann reported that, of course, the transfer, the star transfer for the team from Marquette, Autumn, I believe, I'm trying to look, what is Autumn's last name? You know Autumn's last name? We have to look that up. But Autumn, she's a transfer from Marquette, who is looked to be just a star for the team. And you know, we actually chatted with Autumn about, you know, why she chose Michigan State, and she hinted upon, you know, just this the real homey feel that the program had because of you know, what Kathy George has really established for the program. And you know, it was so interesting because, you know, all emotions were high for this squad, and they still are, because, you know, the year has just started. And who I'm talking about now, I just found the last name, Autumn Bailey, joining the roster. She's the Big East Player of the Year. She was an honorable mention AVCA All-America in both 2013 and 2014 at Marquette. She was a club volleyball teammate of Alyssa Fitterer where the pair won a Canadian under 18 national championship as members of Defensa in 2013. So Autumn came because of the program that Kathy George has established here, bringing that homey type of feel to the program, as well as the connection that she has with Alyssa Fitterer when they were, you know, high school, you know, roommates for that matter. I mean, not only just classmates and teammates, but roommates. I mean, they actually lived with each other during high school. So she came to the program, was expected to be a game changer, but Fred Heumann from Channel 6 said that Autumn Bailey tore her ACL during the very first game of the year at Kentucky, I believe on Friday. So she's done. Sad, sad news. But I actually got a chance to chat with Kathy George at Media Day, in which we participated in a friendly bowling competition at Spare Time in Lansing. And here's what Kathy George had to say.
Yes, absolutely. And we'd like to get to know everybody. You know, we want the players to get in there. We want to get to know you guys and have you do the same.
Were you really impressed with out there? Which team?
Smooth. Oh, my gosh. Smooth Cranda, alias. Okay, because she's smooth, we call her. But Brooke Cranda, I mean, she was awesome out there. And then Garveling came up. She had a turkey, and she just kept going. So pretty impressive. I didn't know I had such bowlers.
I know. Right? And then for the media team, I mean, Kevin Gale was outstanding.
He was outstanding.
Unbelievable. Even though he wasn't here.
It wasn't really Kevin.
It wasn't really Kevin. Who was it?
It was our assistant, Adam Rixey. So he stepped in for him because he was going to come late. And so he stepped in. And then people are looking at his score and thinking he might want to stay. So get out of here, Kevin.
I know, right?
So, yeah.
All in good fun, though. I really love
it.
Now, talking about the team, I mean, you guys tomorrow will play Kentucky.
Right.
How exciting is it to play, you know, to embark on another year? And you and I were just chatting. I mean, you guys have some pretty tough games coming up against some pretty formidable schools. A good test early, though, right?
Absolutely. I mean, starting off with Kentucky, and they're 15th in the nation, and then coming back with Arkansas Little Rock, which you might not think a whole bunch about, but they were in the second round of the NCAA tournament last year with 30 wins on the season. There's a lot of international players. They're huge. They're about our size. And so we have a big challenge. And then we come with IUPUI, who had 20 wins a year ago. So we have three teams that we're playing in 24 hours, which is not easy.
Mm-hmm.
And so we'll be tested and just have to be tough. We have to go through that and really get better.
Now, Kathy, I'm curious to ask you this because I saw that the national rankings have you guys as 19th and the Big Ten as 6th. How much weight do you put on rankings? Do you kind of, it's just kind of, you know, because you haven't even played a match yet, but, you know, these rankings come out. I'm pretty sure you guys don't even bat an eye to them, right?
Not really, because it's a beauty contest, and it's really where did people finish last year and where was that? So we finished in the second round. That's where they put us. We do have a lot of returning players. We were rated 6th in the Big Ten poll, which is all the coaches. So that kind of gives you an idea. We're 6th, and we're at 19th in the league. So, I mean, 19th in the country. So we are the 6th-ranked team in the NCAA poll.
Right.
So we also have the other three. We have 9 in the top 25 honorable mention and top 25 poll. So it's a big-time conference this year, and everybody's gotten stronger, and you have all these All-Americans back. And it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough, but we're better as well. So we'll just have to see. We'll have to duke it out and see who ends up in the lead at the end. So.
Do you even bring up rankings to your team?
No, in fact, I didn't even really know where we were. So I don't pay attention to it much because it's really what's going on in our gym. Are we improving today? And are we setting the foundation for the future? And if we're not doing that, we're going to have problems later on. So we're working so hard on the fundamentals of the game, the way we play together, the vocalness, just the competitive fire, everything that you need to come in there because we're going to have to be battle ready.
Now, I want to ask, of course, the cliche question here as far as goals and expectations go before the season starts. Where do those lie as of right now?
Well, it really does. I think we know we have the ability to do great things in the future, but we also know we have some weaknesses that we have to shore up and that we have to work on. So before we want to go deep into December, right? So that's the goal. Like, let's get as far as we can, but that's way out there. We have to get better today. And we know physically this team matches up with almost anybody in the country. So now it's, are we playing consistent volleyball? Are we playing, are we doing well in the back row defensively, offensively? We have a lot of strong players at the net. We're extremely physical, but can we do all the little things, because that's going to separate the teams in our league. We know everybody's good there, so everybody's physical. It really doesn't matter, like everybody's huge. So what are we going to do to differentiate ourselves? And we have made improvements in various areas that I know will help us be better this year than we were a year ago, but that doesn't really mean a whole bunch.
3 minutes left. Again, that was Kathy George, head coach of the Michigan State women's volleyball team. That's when I actually talked to Kathy last week. right on the heel of the season, to be honest with you guys. I mean, this was the day before they actually traveled to Kentucky to participate in the Kentucky Bluegrass Invitational, and as she gave her thoughts on the upcoming season for her squad. But unfortunate news, Isaac, because Autumn Bailey, you know, she comes in as this highly touted, you know, player from Marquette. We're talking the Big East Player of the Year, folks. Best player in the entire conference. She transfers over to Michigan State, expected to make a profound impact. And what happened? She gets injured. So we really wish Kathy George well as the season moves along. No, they have a lot of pieces. I'm excited, though, to see Alyssa Fitterer play because she's a player who already has been making her mark on the squad. 3 minutes left, Isaac, each and every Tuesday here on the show. We love to bring you Top 5 Tuesday, a top 5 sporting topic, the top 5 point guards of all time, top 5 quarterbacks in Michigan State football history. I mean, we've done countless editions of this segment on the show. And today, for today's Top 5 Tuesday, we decided to, of course, pay homage to the MSU football season, which begins this Friday on the road against Western Michigan University, and bringing you some quick Top 5 Tuesday predictions on the Michigan State football year. 5-4-3-2-1. All right, folks, a quick Top 5 Tuesday for you. What are Isaac and I's top 5 predictions for the upcoming Michigan State football season? Isaac, you want to start us off?
Yeah, Al, I've got, first off, I don't think Connor Cook's going to be a top 5 Heisman candidate by the time it's all said and done. And I think Chris Frey impresses as a starter. I think D'Antonio finally gets his props. I think Madre London ends up losing that running back job to somebody else. And then number one, I think the Spartans make the playoffs.
Okay, we agree on a few of those, disagree on a few of those as well. MSU will beat Ohio State. I'm going to call that one in late November. Madre London, I think, will be a star. The MSU defense won't miss a beat. MSU will make the college football playoff. And Connor Cook's Heisman candidacy will slowly quiet. I think after a few weeks in the college football year, I think we will slowly see that just go poof. So we'll elaborate on that on tomorrow's Current Sports. But thanks to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. Thanks a lot to Mike Smith, head football coach of the Eden Rapids Greyhounds. As to all of you out there, take care. Have one fantastic afternoon. And be easy, people.